plays tag on the surface with a UFO.
Oh, God. What is that for?
I don't know.
Anything for a little fun?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yours or theirs?
Mine? I don't want.
Your UFO? Very good.
UFO. Oh, the base is UFO.
Or
yeah.
Their UFO.
Who's there?
Take any number of alien beings, pop them all into one big category and call them there.
But do you think there would be any UFOs in the fifth dimension over our base?
Could be coming in from, you know, one of the places that are friendly to you in the fifth dimension.
Who knows? Who knows? But he's up there playing tag. Mm-hmm. I suppose it's his way of letting off stream.
Yeah, my streams are out there.
Did I say streams? I meant steam. Sorry. It's not my language.
Obviously. No problem. I have to laugh a little bit here once in a while.
Oh. You want to laugh, huh?
It's good for me. Good for you. Everyone.
Oh, I see. I get the picture. Okay. Second dissertation.
Okay.
Astral travel.
Okay.
Okay. This is a hybrid between the one from last week and the one that we have on the internet. Okay?
All right.
Okay. It follows a fasting process of only a day. No food, no proteins at all. You have a darkened room with candles. You make a little bit of a ceremony after this. You start off at the north point and light the north candle. And then the east candle, the south candle, and the west candle. And you have them on the edges of a circle. You say a little prayer to each candle. And a blessing of whatever feels comfortable for the individual. You lie down on your surface that you have for traveling. You take 5 long, deep breaths of about 2 to 3 seconds in length. So you go. And then you would exhale. And you would do 5 of these. And you would do them in the sitting position. Then you would lie down. And you would say a little blessing or prayer. Again, whatever you feel comfortable with. And you would then take 10 long, deep breaths. Again, about 1 to 2 seconds, 2 to 3 seconds each. Then you would close your eyes. You would meditate within yourself, trying to clear your mind so that your mind is blank. Then, when your mind is blank, you will think to yourself, my body is getting lighter and lighter. I am getting lighter and lighter. I am getting lighter and lighter. You would think this over and over again in your head. And do it approximately 20 times. Approximately because we don't want you to go, I'm getting lighter and lighter, but I'm getting lighter and lighter too. Approximately. If you do 30 or 40, that's fine. That's great. Then you would again shut down the internal dialogue. Let your mind go blank. At this point, you should start to feel lighter and lighter. You would feel your body, or you should feel your body, floating free. Continue thinking of nothing. You will raise up out of your body, or you should, and you will feel yourself free of your body. Just let yourself float. Wherever you go, you go. Whatever you see, you see. That's all that matters at this point. Maintain this as long as you can. No time limits are set on this. Now, returning back to your body. Very simple, you will think, return. Return to my body. Return to my body. And you will repeat that until you feel yourself aware of your body. Then you'd get up and using your fingertips, starting at the north candle, you extinguish each candle, giving them a blessing as you do so. Again, whatever type of blessing that you are comfortable with, you use. You would do it for each candle as you extinguish the candle. Now, it might be handy, as the candle should be your only light source, to have a candle outside the circle, preferably a nice big bright one. And that is your light candle, and also your beacon for when you come back, if you visualize yourself coming back. That is your beacon candle. And of course, when all the candles are extinguished, it is also your light source. Now, having done this, you may wish to repeat it the following night. But I suggest that you give it a rest of the day and have a meal of substance to replace the things that you have lost through fasting for the 24 hours. Whenever I say a day, I mean 24 hours or 23 hours, 58 minutes, never how many seconds it is. Okay, now moving along to more important matters. Okay, let us look at the market's current entertainment.
Very 10 points today.
11, actually. Not very much.
Not very much.
Yeah. But the NASDAQ did make records. So the NASDAQ set a new record. The Dow dropped. Overall increase in shares did okay. But even though the Dow did drop. As I said in the past, we're using the Dow as an indicator. There are two other indicators that we do use. The Russell 500 and the NASDAQ Composites. So with those, you know, we can analyze much easier by using three pointers. If you wish to use a fourth one, there's the S&P that you can also use. But using these pointers gives you a good feel for the pulse of the economy. With these pulses, you can see what's going on. If two go up and two go down, then yeah, it's pretty stable. If three go up and one go down, it means that it's increasing. And if the opposite occurs, three go down and one goes up, again, it's decreasing. If all four go up, it's going up pretty fast. If all four go down, then it may be worth watching what is going on and seeing how the trends are. Now, there are external trends to watch. For example, gross national product, confidence, consumer confidence, and inflation. Again, three pointers worth watching. With these things, like consumer confidence, you can see what's happened in the past and the trends that are going. With the gross national product, again, you can see the trends. See on what's happening and how things are going. Inflation, again, that's a very good thing to watch for. It's a handy tool to use to direct. So, a brief synopsis. The market at the moment is appearing to be stabilizing, but it is worth watching to see how fast things grow. With things growing rapidly, of course, there are always downtrends. And these downtrends are worth watching to see how they continue. But at the moment, with its increases, it's a hay time to make hay, to have money to invest if you feel that you need to invest. But what do you invest in? Well, there's lots of things that you can invest in. And yeah, my recommendations are just as good as anybody else's. So what's the point of me giving recommendations that anybody can give that knows a little about the market? It's pointless. It's like an opinion. Everybody has one. Any questions, hon?
Yeah, love. You're using Earth economic factors to determine things like changes in our economy,
mm-hmm.
and indicators showing potential changes that are around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what other indicators are there besides Earth indicators that you use?
We use things like the general behavior of people. By watching people and the way that they behave and how they talk will give you an indication on how they are doing. If you talk and observe enough people, you can come up with an opinion that is external to released figures that are calculated by governmental agencies, business corporations, and so on, which, even though they're pretty accurate, they really don't know what's going on. They don't have their finger totally on the pulse of the community. So what you want to do is to look at how people behave, how they interact, how they spend their money, what they spend their money on. If they're spending a lot of money, if they're not spending a lot of money. So you have to look at how people behave to see what is actually going on.
Now, is there a growth phase in consciousness to watch for at the same time?
Yes and no. It depends on the social status of the individuals. People in the lower brackets tend to be concerned with one thing and one thing only, which is...
That's an unfair grouping, though, wouldn't you say?
I'm starting from the bottom and working my way up.
Mm. Okay, well, I'll play.
Play. Before we play, why do you have that reservation?
Well, due to the fact that, you know, I've been in that same bracket more times than I can count.
Mm-hmm.
And yet every one of those times I've been in that bracket have been my highest leaps in consciousness, or at least in learning.
Yes, but you've already been exposed to that quest for knowledge.
At my lowest point, I've been exposed.
Mm-hmm.
But at my higher points, those are the points I was never exposed to it.
Yes, but you were already spiritually aware.
Well, that's just many lifetimes.
Mm-hmm. You were conscious of those lifetimes and of those experiences. Most people are not. Take, for example... your former girlfriend.
Okay.
She was never exposed to those spiritual situations.
Different continent. Or different country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What I'm talking about is those people born in the United States,
mm-hmm.
with those past lives from Atlantis, mm-hmm. now taking more of a predominant role, mm-hmm. in their consciousness and their growth.
Okay, let us look at another person.
Okay.
Jack. Very Americanized.
came from Greece, though.
Mm-hmm. But let me follow this through.
Okay.
He's very, very Americanized. I believe he's an American citizen, correct?
Mm-hmm.
He worked for governmental agencies.
Correct.
But yet, he comes from the old world, where there is a history of connection with Atlantis, where they actually do believe in Atlantis. It's not some harebrained scheme.
Right.
So, why is it that Jack is so different from you, coming from a place where it is accepted that it more than likely did exist?
Because people who are...
She's got heavy feet.
Yeah. People with more familiar... it has to do with past lives. Okay, yeah, their belief is there. But their past lives are bringing them here to this country. Due to the technological nature of this country is completely similar to what Atlantis was. So therefore, I'm talking about people who were born in this country.
Okay. David.
Good quote, good point.
Until he met you, mm-hmm. No idea past lives.
Right.
No idea on spiritual awareness.
Right.
But he was exposed to it. Now, David is in the bottom bracket, right?
Oh, yeah.
Very much so. And his spiritual growth goes in spurts. When he moves temporarily up into another bracket, where he has property and so on, he searches. But when he's knocked back down into the lower bracket, he's more concerned with survival. Where's my next meal coming from? Where's my next luxury coming from? And that's all he's concerned about. But the average person that has not been exposed is more concerned with advancing to the next bracket. When they achieve that next bracket, they have a stable lifestyle. They wish to go on to the next level. And the next level is having luxuries such as a car, TV, VCR, pets, computers, and so on. Now, having achieved that bracket, then they start to branch out for spiritualness. Whether it is from an established Christian religion or Celtic or Buddhism or Druidism or Hinduism or Muslim, whatever. They branch out and search. Now, there are certain groups that are external, groups that have a strong ethnic background in spiritualism. They're outside of the normal run-of-the-mill people.
Okay, well, take for example,
mm-hmm.
and this is why I bring this up, the fact that, as you mentioned, David wasn't much into it until he was exposed by myself.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, took a much further interest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm taking this to the next level, which is the fact that the media has kind of taken my position now. People are being exposed on a huge, wider scale, especially with the internet too,
mm-hmm.
To where, you know, it's not just me telling people or people like me telling mm-hmm. other people. They're seeing this in many different forms, especially in entertainment forms that are, you know, hugely popular
mm-hmm.
and hugely making a point on their brains.
Mm-hmm.
Inspirational and something like that. Now, with that, I think we're seeing the changes coming about from a, you know, larger group of people
mm-hmm.
In the same bracket that David was.
They're interested, but they do not have the ability to advance. Mainly because there is one factor involved in the media. that plays a very strong role.
Mm.
And that factor is, how much money can we make from this? So there's a lot of erroneous information out there that is very deceptive, very uninformative, due to the fact that it's a mishmash of realities and fantasies, a collection of ideas that look compatible but are not. For example, let us take the humanoid species.
Okay.
How many humanoid species do you know?
Roughly four.
I can actually think of a lot more. There's my species, your species, the Zetas, the Wookiees, the Syrians, the Reptilians. Yes, they fit in there. They're bipedal life forms. They all have one thing in common. They all have hands or things approaching hands. They all have two eyes. Oh, the blue guys. And the androgynous race that we have up here. Okay, so that's eight races. All bipedal, all bifocal, all with digitals. Now, how many species are there that are spacefaring? Also the bat race and the pig race and the frog race that Mars sees. So that brings up to 11.
I would say they're all spacefaring except for the frog race.
Mm-hmm. Now, the question wasn't how many of those have spacefaring, it's how many spacefaring races are there?
Oh, quite a few.
Mm-hmm. A lot. And the humanoids are just a small percentage of the spacefaring races.
They're not very good at it either.
No. There are other races out there that you would not recognize as life forms, but they are alive. So your popular entertainment portrays basically this one category, the humanoids. They don't portray any of the gaseous life forms. They don't portray any of the liquid life forms. They don't portray any of the plant intelligent life forms. They don't portray many in the way of aquatic life forms that are intelligent spacefaring races.
Man in Black came kind of close.
No, not even close. Not even close. There are so many different life forms out there that we make up as bipedal life forms, carbon-based life forms, about maybe 2%, if we're lucky. So what is in your popular entertainment is quite a lot of erroneous facts. There's a lot of truth in that, but there is also a lot of information that is way off the mark. And there are a lot of life forms out there that show no interest whatsoever in your species, in your planet. They're more interested in other things. So you see where I'm going with this.
Right.
That the popular entertainment is probably about 2% accurate. And the rest of it is fantasy, wishful thinking, mishmash of facts, cobbled together, that is there for purely entertainment. Now, people like David go and see things like this, and they take it as that's a possibility. That rings a bell. It's the desire to feel not alone, even though you're not alone, but you want to feel comfortable. You want to be able to associate with an idea. So if you were to make a realistic entertainment on spacefaring races, you would be in for quite a shock on all the possibilities and all the possible motives and all the possible thought processes and so on. So that to say that the popular entertainment is a key element in the spiritual growth is wrong, because there is a lot of mishmash ideas in there. Now, what is useful is the revival in native consciousness, meaning Native Americans, Native British people, Native Africans, Native Chinese. Their spiritual awareness is where the true information really is. Yes, there is an increase in these things. Movies, TV series, documentaries, books, publications, all of these things have a connectedness. But these massive blockbusters, Men in Black, Contact. Actually, Contact is more realistic than Men in Black for your Earth terminology.
Independence Day.
Star Trek. All these things serve a purpose primarily of entertainment. Little snippets, even Star Wars, little snippets of information are scattered within, little philosophies are scattered within, but overall, they are purely entertainment. No more would beg to differ, and I'll let them deal with that in a little bit.
It did make my job easier.
What do you mean?
Well, when I discuss something like this, you know, it's not like I'm having to start from scratch.
Oh, no.
I'm building on an information base that people have already accepted as, you know, a possibility.
Yes.
When I'm able to offer collaborating evidence toward that fact, you know, I'm not starting from total disbelief.
No, no. There are a lot of people out there that do, and they get suckered into these cults.
Well, if Amal allows your answers from the last part there, that'll go a long way too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A good example of being suckered in, and a costly one, is the Heaven's Gate group. They were suckered in badly.
And people are still asking whether or not, well, I wonder where they are now.
They're dead.
Yeah, I know.
They're
in between lives going, well, that was pretty stupid. Let's not do that next time.
Yeah, exactly. They were not picked up. There was nothing there. And not enough credit has been given to the people that said that there was nothing there. I mean, yeah, Mark went there and told there was nothing there. The information got out late, but it wouldn't have changed anything.
No, people are going to do whatever they're going to do when they do it.
Art Bell did a lot of harm to the spiritual growth. Art Bell, in my opinion, is a joke. But that's my opinion. You may deny it. You may get upset. You may get angry. But he is out there for the advancement and advancement only of Art Bell. Spiritually wise, he is devoid, in my opinion. He's probably got spiritual inclinations, but the primary motivating factor is himself.
But again, just like with everything else, Art Bell serves a purpose,
mm-hmm.
making my job easier.
He gets the ideas out there.
Right. All I do is I clean up his trash.
Mm-hmm. And his trash is quite a lot.
Yes, but I mean, without the trash,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'd have to start creating that stuff.
Yeah, it is possible in a way that you could say that Art Bell was responsible for the suicides of the Heaven's Gate crowd. By continuing that myth, they would have probably committed suicide anyway, but he contributed to it in an indirect way.
Yeah. Nonetheless, the only responsibility lies with the Heaven's Gate members.
Correct. Anyway, my time's up for this bit.
Okay.
Well, do you have any last questions?
No, go ahead, love.
Okay.
Greetings and felicitations, Russ.
Greetings, Amal. I'm honored to have you with us.
Okay, let us cover Tia's long dissertation. Okay. About the only thing that I think that we can edit is the little bit concerning... We can keep all of it.
Fair enough. Thank you. It's a good informative dissertation, I'd say.
Thank you. Tia is delighted.
I bet she is.
Okay. Let us get down to my favorite topic, spiritual consciousness and development.
New key?
Maybe, maybe not. Self-love. Carrying on from where we left off.
Okay.
Self-love, to quote, there is no viler sin than self-love, except self-neglect. Now, why is it that Shakespeare used that quote, that self-love is a sin? It is not. Self-love is the first key to development, to be able to evolve. After all, you cannot love others if you do not love yourself. And with this self-love and how it grows and develops is something that comes along with spiritual growth. The more that you love yourself, the more that you take care of yourself, the more that you see opportunities to improve upon yourself. I don't mean externally as in cosmetics. I mean internally, making yourself a better person, using the experiences to grow, to take care of yourself. These things create self-love. They create confidence. Having confidence can lead you on a pathway of love of all things, being aware of where you wish to go, how you wish to develop, where you want to go, how you wish to be. All these factors together make you a better person in your development level on how you achieve your goal. Now, looking at higher consciousness in relationship to self-love, this is where it becomes more of an abstract idea, but an idea which is a part of it. From self-love springs love of all things, as I have stated. Now, with the spiritual growth that is incorporated in this, and the natural progression and development that you go through on this spiritual quest is the idea that it is necessary to spread your knowledge. But because the knowledge is not the accepted normal practice, it is looked upon as strange. How do you overcome this? Very simply, you do not preach. You do not tell, as in dictating this is the way that it is. You tell it in a way that it works for me. It is a moral decision. And how you interact with this moral consciousness and people interact with you, with the high ethical standards that comes with this, in this moral setup. Moral behavior serves a key function with the necessary interactions that come with a higher moral consciousness. Do unto others as you wish done unto yourself. Do as I say, not as I did. These are two phrases which are useful in the helping of other people. Let us look at do as I say, not as I did. You use your failures, your mistakes, your pains, your sufferings as an example, and what the answers should have been, and how you learned from these mistakes. As a teacher and communicator, it is important to articulate these things well, to make it a good lesson in morality. And by teaching these morals, by interacting in a particular way, your development of yourself occurs, as well as the individuals that you are teaching. And from this, you get the feeling of affection for these individuals, and from them, the feeling of affection for you, which increases your self-love of yourself, that you have done a good job, that you have interacted well. And the cycle is repeated. From this cycle, a spiral is created. Instead of a spiral spiraling in, it is an ever-increasing spiral out from you. You may interact with four individuals. Those four individuals may interact with four more individuals. You interact with more individuals. So your teachings and your moral principles are passed on. But you have to stick to those moral principles. Those moral principles vary for each individual. For example, on the higher spiritual levels, adultery does not exist. Fornication does not exist. But on the third dimension, it is part of the principles and teachings of a third dimensional religion. You can use the discussion of, well, if we are created by a god and these things are pleasurable, then they cannot be bad. But they can be bad in a moral point of view because, for example, coveting your neighbor's person, wife, husband, whatever, creates friction. It may feel good to join with that individual, but it is bad morally. It causes pain and jealousy and possibly even death. So these morals that are developed at an early age for individuals must be put into play for the spiritual growth and development that comes along with these matters. Do you have any questions?
Man, it's tough to answer questions on something like this. One thing I really would have a question about is the fact that even though your morals are set at a young age, wouldn't being the fall into those lessons and going through those problems create a higher standard of morals then afterwards?
No. And the reason being that if you had learnt your morals, you would not have needed to have learnt these experiences. You would not have had to have experienced these things to realize that the morals were correct. You see, the principal function of morals is so that you can interact and do not need to learn these lessons because these lessons have already been put before you, analyzed, and learned by learning the morals. The morals are like learning 2 + 2 = 4. You don't have to go out there and find out for yourself. You have to learn that 2 + 2 = 4. It does not equal 3 or 5, it equals 4. And that is the way that it is. So by learning morals, they are there so that you don't have to experience these situations. These situations bring upon pain and suffering. If you do not learn your morals, then they serve the function of creating the morals that you need. But the morals are there as a purpose. They are there to help you develop without suffering, without going through these problems. There are certainly in your lives more experiences that don't require morals that you can learn from. But having to relearn these lessons that you should have learned through your morals strikes me as a bit of a waste. It slows down the growth. And it slows down your development. Pause the tape. Okay. More questions, please.
Okay. In any form of civilization, we're all basically going upon what people have taught us, where people have gone wrong before. The only problems I have is the fact that a lot of people would feel that, okay, they've been there, they've done that, but I've learned the lesson correctly until I've done that. I've seen this happen a million times before. What do you tell these people? This is a waste of time.
No, I tell them that they have not learned their lessons, so they have to experience it for themselves. They have not learned their moral principles. They have not achieved the spiritual awareness to follow their morals. So therefore, they have to relearn the reasons why they learned their morals in the first place. Certain morals that have gone throughout the ages. Thou shalt not kill. It's a good example and a good way of putting it. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Causes friction. Can even cause murder. Which goes to the second one or to the first one. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Which can cause jealousy. Jealousy because a person has and another person does not. The person that does not steals upsets the person that does or did and can lend to physical harm and even back to the first one, killing. These are three principal morals.
Now, Jesus in the New Testament, he said, basically, or Sananda, love thy neighbor as yourself. This
that
law.
Is a commandment from the Ten Commandments.
Oh, okay. Well, what did he say? He says, this law is above all the others.
That is, let me quote, the Lord God Jehovah. That is from the Ten Commandments. Love thy neighbor as thyself. That is my fourth statement that I was going to come to. This law is above all else. And it goes back to last week's dissertation and self-love. Why?
Because with that, all the other laws fall right into place.
Correct. That if you love your neighbor, you will not want to have his or her bondmate. So therefore, you will not covet thy neighbor's wife or husband. Two,